get out of there and so I can preach. Take your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. The other day I was studying the scriptures and I thought, I'm going to go through Ecclesiastes, and I just read the whole book at one time. It was tremendous thoughts. Brilliant man that wrote it. Let's stand and read God's word tonight. Ephesians chapter 3. What did I say? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Through everything there's a season, a time, to every purpose under the heaven, time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance. That's just with your wife, of course, amen. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. That's during the invitation time. When I'm giving the invitation, you young couple are hugging and smooching. It drives me crazy. That ain't fair. Don't do that. And the time to refrain, all right? Go home and do that stuff. As bad as my mama, daddy used to kiss in front of us. Man, that's gross. My mama, lick her lips. Kiss my daddy. And he wouldn't wipe it off. I know it was still wet. Because she used to do the same thing, kiss me on the lip, you know. But there's a time to refrain from embracing. My mama said, if they act like that in public, what do you think they act? Never mind. Number six, and I'm glad you're married. I told my wife, she said, what are you doing? I said, see that? That's my license. Oh. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow. Time to keep silent. And time to speak. Time to love. Time to hate. Time of war. Time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us look at the scriptures and to be very careful that we in life are appropriate in every action that we do. Lord, it's sure hard today with so much that's inappropriate. But Lord, help us to be someone who people can look up says one thing about them, they're appropriate. They dress right, they walk right, they talk right, their children do the same. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about things I've learned. And I'm still learning if you haven't figured that one out yet. The pastor's assistant pulled up to the church at the same time one beautiful sunny morning after a wonderful rain. They greeted one another at the front porch of the church, and a great big old frog jumped up on the step. The frog looked right at the preacher and says, if you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful princess. The pastor just reached down, picked up that big old frog, and put him in his pocket. Then the two went to their offices. Long the assistant pastor pounded over that stinking frog, the more he thought about it. Finally, he couldn't stand it, went into the preacher's office and said, Pastor, why in the world didn't you kiss that frog? Just think of a beautiful princess to be yours. Pastor slowly reached into the suit pocket and pulled that old frog out, sat it on his desk and looked at it, and he said, "My son, at my age, I'd rather have a talking frog." I want you to listen to the wisest man and what he said in the middle of his life. Go to your Bible, and I wish you'd take your pen out and circle some of these. They're going to help some of you guys. I want you to circle some of these things. Wouldn't hurt if your wife did too, and then you could rub it in their face. But anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good of his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God." Are you getting it now? Are you marking it in your Bible? It might be a good idea if you have a piece of paper, or go to the back of your Bible, and there's usually some white pages back there, and mark these down. I'm concerned about middle-aged guys. I'm concerned about young guys that are not middle-aged yet, but they have no idea where they're headed for. God said, and gave the wisest man in the world to say this, the pen to say it, he said, "Enjoy what you eat and drink." You guys work hard, enjoy that. Enjoy what you work for. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13. 3:13. "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labors. It is a," what? "Gift of God." So, first of all, he says it's from the hand of God. Then he says it's a gift of God. Then look at here, verse 22 of chapter 3. "Wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own work, for that is his portion." What's a portion? Something, somebody, if you, all right, you're, how many from a family, at least five? Raise your hand. Y'all know what a portion is. Mama gives you a portion of the meal. Not some of you, if you're the only son, you get your own portion. You're looking at one big spoiled boy. If my sister's got one portion, I got two portions. I like that. And my mama used to say, "Girls, he's a grown boy. And you girls don't want to be grown girls." And they give you even more, amen. Boy, mom had it all figured out, amen. So the Bible says, "This is your portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him?" So he said, you better take your portion and eat it. I have a friend of mine, brother, American Indian, Brother Holman. And Brother Holman and I, we were someplace, and these folks had fixed, I mean, you talk about victuals, they really fixed the victuals, and there are plenty of portions to go around. And man, he just wolfed it down. I said, "Good night, Glenn." I says, "What you doing?" He says, "There's an old Indian saying, a Blackfoot Indian saying." I said, "What's that?" He says, "Eat all you can, because you never know where your trail is going to go next." So I took that for my motto, and you see it's not doing very good for me, because I can't even get half through the trail, amen. That was supposed to be funny, but it... Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 18. Hope you're writing these down. "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and enjoy the good of all his labors that he has taken under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him for, it is for his portion." Now go to chapter 9, verse 9. This is where it gets gooder and gooder, amen. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for this is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. So he says, first of all, hey, don't forget, you enjoy what you eat and you enjoy what you drink, because this is your portion. This is all you can get to get in this life. That's all you can get. And he says, then he said, this is the gift of God, your portion and your drink, your food. And then he says, this is a portion from God. Then he says, live joyfully with a wife that thou lovest. Live joyfully. Enjoy her. I mean, just do a double that flip. Be happy who you have for a wife. Hallelujah. So enjoy your wife. That's what God says. Hey, listen, this is not a dummy. This is the smartest man in the world. Now, you know and I know that he married 300 wives and had 700 cucumber vines. Concubines, sorry, Can you imagine walking into his bathroom? 2,000 pantyhose hitting you in the face, washing out. Can you imagine? I don't even want to think about it. Thank God for one wife, and I am to enjoy her. This is what God says is your portion in life. Now, if you're not enjoying your wife, you got a problem. If you're not enjoying the one that God created for you, you're in trouble. Because you are missing out on your portion of life. You hear me now? Fussing and carrying on and yelling and screaming is not a blessing. It's a curse. In fact, read Proverbs and read some of these about some of these ravaging women that are in your house. You say, you're not for it. Well, string your act up then, lady. And then we'll take you over to Proverbs 31, and that's who you should be, amen. Amen. I don't like that. Well, then straighten up. Do what you're supposed to. What are you yelling and yipping and chirping all the time? He was not made for you. You were made for him, whether you like it or not. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Holy God said. If you don't like it, shake your fist to God and he'll take care of you. Amen. You're made for him. You are his helpmeet. He is not your helpmeet. You are his helpmeet. He is your, you are his completer. That man is not complete without you. That's the Bible. I'm not trying to cause a fuss. I'm just trying to tell you that you want to enjoy life, fellas, you need to take good care of that little wife of yours. And you enjoy her. She's yours. He that finds a wife finds a good thing, for her price is far above rubies. I've never met a man that loved God and loved this old book that ever treated his wife wrong. Thought I was going to speak Chinese there for a minute. Wing Wong! That's my trouble. I took my wife to a Best Walk and got in there and ate with chopsticks. Now I'm talking Chinese. Is there an interpreter house? The Bible said if you speak another language, I've never met a man who treated his wife wrong that loved God. They treat their wife like the queen, the princess. They're the ones who open the door for her. They're the one that when she needs something, they run and get it for her. They're the ones there that start their car up and get it warm and make sure that he's carrying those heavy old baby baskets around and not her. He makes sure that someone somewhere is going to take care of her when he can't be there. I've never met a man mean to his wife that loves the Lord. But I've sure met a lot of men who are mean to their wives. And I will tell you right now, you are an ungodly piece of junk. Shame on you. Treat that one who has left her strength. Treat that one that needs help, that you would take advantage of her. I've met too many girls that could beat up their husband, though I wish they could sometimes. She's a wicked vessel. That's what God said. And the Bible says you take good care of her. You watch over her. You do everything you can to promote her. You read Proverbs 31. She is the queen's wife. I mean, she is the king's wife, this queen. Think of what she was doing, man. She's buying fields. She's out working. She's working. Her light did not go out at night. She's up early in the morning feeding her household. On and on and on. Boy, that's the kind of woman I want to be married. But I'll tell you what, she'll never be that kind of woman unless you take care of her. My wife's always tired. Well, maybe there's reason she's tired. You come home, sit down in your magic chair, and she's vacuuming, and she's washing, she's keeping all these stinking kids running around that you think you're so cool you made. Why don't you help her? Did you know that men can use a washing machine just like a woman can? Don't put the whites and the colored together. You probably only do it once and says, honey, don't come in here again. Put the clothes down. Turn around. I was in a hurry the other day. Threw this great, big, huge tablecloth that's burgundy. Threw it in the washer. And I thought, well, I'll just save some time. I threw some towels and some other things in there. Now we have pink towels. And Mrs. Ortega thinks it's the funniest thing she's ever seen in her life. Preacher, let me do the washing. Live joyfully with a wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. Life is quite vain, isn't it? Tell me how fast this year went. Tell me how fast last year went. I watched Adam and Jessica come in today, and I remember the first time I saw them, and they had these two little girls. And now they're getting a little bigger girls, and they got a little baby. And I look at that baby today, and it's growing up. So it's an incredible thing. Take the time to love her. You have no idea how long you have her. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and listen now, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Obtaineth favor of the Lord. When you marry a good woman, you guys out looking for that wife, you make sure you get a good one. They're hard to find. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing for her. Prices far above rubies. You don't find a ruby every day. You work and you check out. And you watch, and you just, everything you can find out about them. Go see the mama. Remind me of a story when I was dating my wife, and my dad told me this story. I think it was my dad. He says, Son, did you hear about the boy that went over to see his girlfriend's house? And when he came back, Mama wanted to know what kind of housekeeper the mother was. And he said, and Mama said, Son, what'd you think about her house? Well, he says, you could eat on that floor, Mama. Really? Yeah, there's peas and corn and beans. I'm telling you, boys, what you see at home, pretty much what you're going to get. And it's going to be three times worse. If Mama's a yacker and a holler and a peeper and a griper and a complainer, guess what you're going to get? The Bible says, as the mother, so is the... Boy, that got a little quiet there. As the mother, so is the daughter. You make sure you watch. You watch, because you're going to be stuck with her the rest of your life. In all your vanity, you're going to be stuck with her. And once you marry, that's who you're going to be stuck with. Is that what you want to be stuck with? Well, preacher, I need a date for tonight. Psychiatrists say if you spend 198 hours with an opposite sex, you will fall in love. No matter how pretty they are or how opposite of pretty they are. Trying to be nice. But I'll tell you, within the years, that prettiness wears off. Better to buy one that knows, buy one. Better. It's better to marry one that knows how to cook than pretty, because cooking just gets better. Pretty don't get prettier. Oh. This is just a talk from your dad tonight, all right? I want to tell you some things I've learned. I've learned that the best classroom in the world is at the feet of an elderly person. I have learned that when you're in love, it shows. I have learned that one person saying to me, you made my day, makes my day. We're eating dinner, and a lady came up to my wife. And I thought I'd recognize this other lady, but I wasn't watching this other lady. She came up and put her arm around my wife. Never seen the lady before. And she says, God has a special place for you. And walked out. And then one of our ladies that were at Beck, and you remember, oh, Marcia, you're so beautiful. Boy, my wife just flew. I've learned that just one person saying to me, you made my day, makes my day. I've learned that having a child fall asleep in your arms is one of the most peaceful feelings in the world. I've learned that being kind is more important than being right. And I'm still working on that. I don't have to be right all the time. And neither do you. I've learned that you never say no to a gift from a child. This morning, one of my Rogers kids came up to me with a great big long piece of licorice and gave it to me. I don't know where their hands had been. Who cares? I ate it. I'm still okay tonight. Dr. Dion and I have a birthday together pretty close, and he called me up and said, hey, Brother Sherry, he said, how would you like to come over to Treasure State and have a birthday party for you and me? I said, man, that sounds great, Doc. He said, be over here at 12 o'clock. So I came over there and talked, man, this is maybe 25 years ago. Man, we came in there, and all these little kids, these little five-year-old, six-year-old kids there, and they all brought us something to eat. I love celery and peanut butter. Don't forget, write that down. We're out of peanut butter. I love celery and peanut butter. I had celery. I had one deal of peanut butter the other day, rest just celery. I had celery and peanut butter. And so I'm looking at it, I'm looking at the celery, and boy, it's really clean, you know. I mean, somebody scraped it pretty good. And I'm eating it away, man. I must have 3-4 of them, you know. And the little girl said, Dr. Shear? I said, yes. She said, I made that celery. I said, oh, good. She said, I cleaned it off with my toothbrush. I still want to go. And I think Dion hates peanut butter, and he laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, man, I'm glad I don't like peanut butter anymore. You said, would you eat any more? No, I didn't eat no more. Oh, they had 4. Number 7, I've learned that I can always pray for someone when I don't have the strength or the time to help him in some other way. When a man asks me to pray, I'll pray. This morning, Mrs. Furr came to my office and said, Preacher, Brian's going in before the board. And I said, man, let's pray. Got my Sunday school class. Heard some of the most precious prayers. I wished I would have recorded those prayers of these men praying for you, Brian. And we prayed at church this morning. Sometimes you can't go there. Sometimes you may not have the money to help them, but at least you can pray. If you got the money, help them. If you don't have the money, then pray. It'd be a good idea. Give them money and pray. Amen. There's a man having a real hard time. He got sick during harvest time and lost his crops. And the church says, well, we're going to come over to your house and pray. And 5 of the deacons came over, and all of a sudden, here come one of the boys in the house, the deacon's son, says, hey, where's your dad? He's supposed to be over to pray. He said, well, he couldn't come, but he said he sent his prayer. He opened the door. And there's a buckload of corn in his wagon. Yeah. I've learned that no matter how serious your life requires you to be, everyone needs a friend to act goofy with. How cold was it last night? 4 below? We went and had Dairy Queen. Everybody's got to act goofy with somebody. Amen. And he does a good job of it. Right. I've learned that sometimes all a person needs is a hand to hold and a heart to understand. You may not understand all the things going on in my life, and I may not understand all the things going on in your life, but bless God, at least I can be there, at least you can be there. Well, I'm thinking about how's your sister doing? I mean, your mama doing? I'll tell you what I prayed late last night for, all day yesterday. It's going to be a long time, isn't it? I've learned that no matter how serious your life requires you to be, everybody needs a friend to act goofy with. Number 9, I've learned that sometimes all a person needs is a hand and a heart to understand. Number 10, I've learned that simple walks with my father down the lane or back to the woods on a summer night when I was a child did wonders for me as an adult. When you're talking to your kid, move away from your iPad and your iPhone. They want your total attention. I dare you to talk to my wife with your iPhone or iPad in your hand. I dare you. Thing goes off. I'm trying. She's looking at me like, Like, really? Is that important? Most of us don't have a job that's that serious. I remember one Sunday, one of our bus girls came up here, and I saw her with her cell phone, and I says, "You should probably turn that off." "Oh, no, it's important." You're going to take out time of our church and make that thing go off and disrupt the whole service because a 14-year-old girl has to have her cell phone on. Isn't that important? Some of you guys, extreme alert, I understand that. Some of you people work for the hospital, I understand that. But I don't understand why someone has to read the email and read their text during the service. Unless you're like Bree that sends me a text that says, "That was 200 that died." Thank you, Bree. I am learning. I am learning that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it goes. I've learned that we should be glad God doesn't give us everything we ask for. And you better be glad that God doesn't give other people everything they ask for either. You'd be struck down by lightning. Amen. I've learned that money does not buy class. Just watch them on the Dynasty. That is a waste of time. But boy, I like watching it. I think it ought to be taken off the TV. But everyone is on. I'm going to watch. Amen. I've learned it. It's those small daily happenings that make life so spectacular. I've learned that under everyone's hard shell is someone who wants to be appreciated and loved. I've learned that the Lord didn't do it in all one day. What makes me think I can? Let me repeat that. Y'all get it? I've learned that the Lord didn't do it all in one day. What makes me think I can? Number 17, I've learned that to ignore the facts does not change the facts. I like that. Because I meet a lot of people that ignore a lot of things. Number 18, I've learned that when you plan to get even with someone, you're only letting that person continue to hurt you. Isn't that good? Don't get even with somebody. Leave it alone. Let God take care of it. You kill them, there's a lot of blood and we're coming after you. Number 19, I've learned that love, not time, heals all wounds. Love, not time, heals all wounds. Number 20, I've learned that the easiest way for me to grow as a person is surround myself with people smarter than I am. That's rich, Jerry. Do you hear what I said? Surround yourself with smart people. I've learned that everyone you meet deserves to be greeted with a smile. I went to the hospital the other day with Chaplain Racy. And there's a lady coming in. I said, that lady's mad at something. And I did that. She put her head down and kept going. Wouldn't you know, we come around the corner, here she comes again. I said, "Man, brother, she's mad about something." He said, "Yeah, she's disappointed about something." "Yeah, I don't know, a couple of guys, you know, talking, though." Wouldn't you know, met her again. She was ticked. I don't know what she's mad at. I told Ray, I said, the next time you come around, I'm getting in front of her. I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? I'm with the spiritual care. I'm one of the chaplains here at the Benefice East. And I just thought I'd talk to you for a moment. How you doing? I thought she had post-traumatic stress disorder. She had something going on. You heard of people going postal? She's going hospital. Amy, you okay back there? Okay. By the way, if it wasn't for Amy, he'd never got chief. I just want to tell you that. I've learned that no one is perfect until you fall in love with them. Isn't that good? I've learned that no one's perfect until you fall in love with them. You would change a lot of things in your life if you just fall in love with a few people. I've learned that life is tough, but I'm tougher. I told one preacher, he was going through some real difficult times, a young preacher, not younger than I was. And I said, the only thing you've got going for you, buddy, is this, that you can outlive them. Some of you don't get it. All right. I've learned that opportunity is never lost. Someone will take it, the one you missed. And there's opportunities come to you. And you just kind of, I'm too busy, I can't. And all of a sudden, you'll never get that chance again. Don't miss those opportunities that come to you. Grab every brass ring you can get. People don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Did you ever notice on the merry-go-round they used to have a thing you could grab a brass ring? How many of you remember did that? All right. You get an opportunity for education, grab it. Grab it. It will help you. Doesn't make any difference where you're getting from. It'll help you. Grab some education. Find what you can. Take it, everything you can get, because someday you may use it on your children. I always told my girls in a church years ago, and I should remind you this, that every girl ought to go to college, and she ought to get her elementary or secondary education. Whether you use it or not, you use it on those kids. And if something happens to hubby and he gets sick, you can go to work and support, and you don't have to work at a restaurant. And if you do work at a restaurant, I'm sorry about that. You just make a little salary. Get pension and everything like that. Get all you can get while you're getting it. Oh, I'm just going to get married. Get an education. And then get your MRS degree. I've learned that when you harbor bitterness, happiness will dock elsewhere. You harbor bitterness, you're not going to be happy. I've learned that I wish I would have told my mom I loved her one more time before she passed away. How many still have your mama living? That old phone ought to be working tonight. Every Sunday night, at least, call your mama. I've learned that one should choose their words both soft and tender, because tomorrow you might have to eat them. I've learned that a smile is an inexpensive way to improve your looks. Max Factor, you can't buy this. Some of you look like you've been sucking on a green persimmon. How many know what green persimmon is? Did you hear about the kid that thought he'd really have some fun? And they had already made up the Lord's Supper, but he squeezed persimmon juice in the cups. And when the preacher got up and took a drink, he said, okay, well now, what's all the duck salad you have to go home? Oh, I forgot to tell you, you're not supposed to have fun in church. It's supposed to be boring and stupid. I've learned that I can't choose how I feel, but I can choose what I do about it. Sometimes you don't feel good. Sometimes you just like to crawl in. My mom used to say, I feel like I'm going to dig a hole and crawl in and pull the hole in with me. I'm trying to envision that. You cannot choose how you feel. But I can choose what I do about it. Just because you're not feeling good doesn't mean that you got to make everybody else feel like you. Boy, there are some people who say, boy, they're having a bad day, and they make sure you got one too. Hey, live above the clouds. Quit your whining and griping. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got heartache. Everybody's got sorrow. Everybody's broke. Everybody, you just name it, they all got it. It's like pox on a chicken, amen. Everybody's got it. Everybody's getting going through a hard time. Life is not perfect. They haven't figured that out one yet. Oh, if I just get married. Oh, if I just had a baby. Yeah. Boy, my husband just. Careful how you treat people when you're not feeling well. That does not give you the license to be mean. I'm not going to say that. Number 31. I've learned that when your newly born grandchild holds your little finger in his or her little fist, you're hooked for life. Amen, Grandma, Grandpa. And you stinking kids, bring those grandkids around. Hold them hostage from me. Shame on you. I've learned everyone wants to live up on top of the mountain, but all the happiness and growth occurs while you're climbing it. I've learned that it's best to give... Hey, by the way, how many of you ever climbed up Storm Castle Reef? What do you do when you get up on top? You huff and you puff, you're about dead. You look around and you turn around and go on back. I told kids for years, there is a Coca-Cola vending machine at the top. How many have heard me tell that? I did it with my fingers crossed behind my back. They're chunking up there. They got this, where's the pop machine? Well, you don't have any money to use it anyway, so. What's the fun? Fun is taking pictures. Fun is sitting there, getting your breath. Pulling a girl's hair. You name it. I've learned. Listen now. I've learned it is best to give advice only in two circumstances. One, when it's requested, and two, when it's a life-threatening situation. Because when you give advice to someone that don't want it, first of all, they already knew that. And secondly, if you give advice and it's not what they wanted to hear, you were wrong in the first place. And you've wasted a lot of time. And you probably ruined friendship. And I've learned that the less time I have to work with, the more things I get done. You want somebody to do something, find somebody who's busy, and they'll get her done. So you got lollygagging around. He's just lollygagging around. He ain't going to get it done. You guys know what I'm talking about at the shop. You know what I'm talking about, the guys that work out there. These guys are just always piddling. Should be fired. You find somebody really busting and doing it and getting everything done all of a sudden. Hey, man, can you... Yeah, I'll get this. Just a minute here. I got to finish up my work. Go over and fix it and it's done for you. Don't you like guys like that? Don't allow Satan to ruin your life. Three things you're going to get out of this life. Only three. Solomon said, I've tried everything. I've tried sex. I've tried drugs. I've tried booze. I've tried money. I've tried everything under the sun. And this is his comment. Vanity is vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. But he said, I'll tell you three things you will get. Your food and your drink and the love of your wife. That's all you're going to get out of this life. Hey, show me a U-Haul behind a hearse. I don't care if they did spot one in North Dakota. I guarantee you, he ain't take nothing with him. Nothing. But you can take the love of your wife with you. You can take the enjoyment of sitting down and eating and drinking and just having a good time, fellowshipping, which we're about to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Help us, Lord God, that we would be very careful, that we walk close to you. And, Lord, we'd be very careful how we act. And probably more, Lord, how we react to situations that happen to us. Help us to have a kind heart, a sweet spirit. Help us, Lord Jesus, have an ambience about us that people just feel that they can be our friend. And know that when someone tells me something, that's where it's going to end. Lord, bless this time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? I'm not sure I'm saved. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I want to be baptized tonight. Would you lift your hand? You're here tonight and say, preacher, would you please mention me to God in prayer this week that I would live closer to him? Lord, you see the hands of these. We're not asking, Lord Jesus, for something that's unbelievable. We're just asking, this is just one more day. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk close to you. May our Bible be our stay, and may our prayer time be our fellowship with you. And, oh God, help us this week to walk close to you. There's a lot of things going on this week. Please keep us safe. Lord, be with our dear ones. Be with our widows of our church. God, please be with them. Be with Jerry and Roush's, Lord, and many others who are just not feeling well. But anyway, Lord, I pray you'd be with her. Lord, I'll bless this service. Thank you for tonight. And help us to be more like you. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless this food now. We're about to eat. And a fellowship. May we have a wonderful, grand time together. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you are dismissed.